Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Nehemiah, please. The book of Nehemiah. That lock deal, it'd be a good illustration right there before I get started preaching. But what happened over the years, copies were made of copies that were made of copies that were made of copies. And some people had an original key, kind of, that worked pretty good. But if you had a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, it got so bad out there. Well, of course, we've repaired the door, but the door was in need of repair. And people, I could just see them, Brother Brian, getting kind of, like Brother Houston, a little bit lack of patience and shaking that thing a little bit anyway. They were setting the alarm off before they ever got in the church. And so that's the reason that we just changed everything out. But the illustration is there. You know, if you were going to lay out a wall and you want your studs on 16-inch centers, you don't mark 16 and then move the end of the tape measure to that mark and mark 16 again and then move the end of the tape measure to that mark and mark 16 again. If you do, time you get down there about 30, 40 feet, you're going to be way off. What you do is you just hook your tape measure in one place and you come down there and mark 16, 32, 48, and so on. I ain't that good at math, amen? But anyway, that way every mark is in reference to where the hook is. And that's why Jesus tells us not to compare ourselves one to another. We're supposed to be looking at Him. And I tell you one thing right now, I've never met a believer that was looking at Him and living for Him that wasn't humble. Amen? Because we can compare ourselves with ourselves. Paul said that ain't wise, but we need to look unto Jesus. And so wherever that master key is that started that out years ago, it probably still works real good. I know this, the master still works real good. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Well, Nehemiah chapter number 1 tonight. I'm just going to try to develop a thought, the second thought here in the series. We were looking at the word great. And the first thing that we saw in Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year that I was in Shushan, the palace. If you look at that Chislu, it's December. And Hananiah, one of my brethren, he came, and he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity are there in the province, are in great affliction. And we tried to magnify on Sunday that there was a great need among the children of Israel, a great need. And, you know, I just want to stop and say this. When I said something Sunday about America first, I'm not trying to put someone down. I thank God for what's happening in our country. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, according to the Bible, for the Christian, Jesus ought to be first. Amen. The Lord ought to be first. But again, I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner, but let me say this. Here, they were in great affliction, and we see the first thing we looked at is we're looking at great. There's a great need. I want to thank God for a president that can look all the way to the inner city and see people that are being killed day after day after day after day, and can at least acknowledge there's a great need. I want to thank God for a president that can see that you got to be careful who you let come into the country, and that if things get out of hand and you no longer have borders and you no longer have law, then we have a great need. And I thank God for that. Amen. That instead of burying their head in the sand, it looks like that someone is standing up and saying, hey, America has a need. Amen. But I just want to say, as a preacher, I'm not the president. My calling's higher than that. Our greatest need, amen, is the Lord. That's our greatest need in America, is the Lord. And so we tried to magnify that on Sunday. And I just thought maybe somebody go away from here and think, well, I'm jumping on the president. No, if I was going to jump on a president, I'd have jumped on that last one. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And we tried to magnify Sunday night how that we need to guard those gates. And if they're not guarded, there'll be an even greater need. And then in verse number 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now that's kind of what these meetings coming up towards May are about. It's just trying to get a hold of God. And I don't have this in front of me, but it seems like when I studied through the book of Nehemiah years ago, that that month Nisan, is it there somewhere? I think it was, let me see here, wait just a minute. I don't see it right off. Where's it at, brother? Chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah, right there it is, right in front of me. That's the way with them Nisans. They're hard to see sometimes, amen? But anyway, I believe that's April. So that puts Nehemiah in this spirit of prayer and burden from December to April. I just want you to see that because it's no little thing with him. He's carrying a burden. And Brother Brown's mentioned about the meeting. We're in January still, and the meeting don't come to May. So it's almost a fitting time frame. You understand what I mean? To pray, get a hold of heaven. And then tonight in verse number 5, this is where the second part of the message comes from. Not only was there a great need, but in verse number 5, the Bible said, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. There's the word great again. A great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now. Look at that. Day and night. What a burden this man of God is carrying for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which, what's that next word? This is what I love about these men of God in the Bible. He said, which? Did he say, which they have sinned? I love that, don't you? Jeremiah, Isaiah, my men of God in the Bible that identified with the sins of the nation. Said, we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I'll scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, let me say this to you tonight. I believe America as a whole is so proud that they believe there's no way we could ever be scattered abroad. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's a God in heaven that said that to the children of Israel. And I bet they didn't believe it either, amen. They'd have acted different if they hadn't, amen, if they had believed it. But the Bible said, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out to the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. How many's glad we know where that is? Glory to God, that's Israel. Glory to God, that's Jerusalem. Amen. God said, I put my name there. I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. The word of God said, yet I will gather them from thence, will bring them unto the place that I've chosen. Now, these are thy servants. Watch this now. Here comes that word great again. These are thy servants, thy people, which thou hast redeemed. In other words, that's a past tense. Lord, you've already done this. You've already redeemed it. Let me say this to you tonight. Please listen to me carefully right here. You can get in a heap of trouble after you've been redeemed. That's a truth right there that we need to understand. Amen. Ask David. Ask Samson. Ask Peter. Amen. You can get in a heap of trouble after that you've been redeemed. He said here, which you've redeemed by thy great, there's the word again, thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servant. Let me just say this tonight. It's in my heart. I'm trying to get to where I can pray and then preach. But this does not sound like your modern day TV evangelist that's marching into the throne room of God and commanding God to do this and do that. Here's somebody coming humbly to the throne of grace saying, God, I'm your servant. Please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. Amen. I've always said the greatest Christians in the world are servants of the Most High God. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants, plural, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah didn't know how this was going to go when he went before the king, but he knew this. I've got a whole lot better shot at it when I go before the king if I've been before the king. How many knows what I just said? Amen. I go before the king. I want to go before that king before I go before that king. And God will help us. Let's pray together and we'll get in the message. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to open this book. Lord, the Bible, your precious, holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. I pray, Father, tonight, God, that it would find a lodging place in our hearts and in our minds. Help us, Lord, tonight to encourage your people. Strengthen us tonight, our Father. And Lord, I pray if there's someone under the sound of our voice that doesn't know you, that this precious old book would prick their heart. God, that they'd come to know you, to whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look tonight, we've looked at a great need, and I want to look tonight at great power to meet that great need. And what I want to say tonight first in the message is, our God has power to redeem. That's what the Bible said right here. The Bible said here, thou hast redeemed by thy great power. Anybody that knows anything about water knows how powerful that water is. The flow of water. You go out to the Midwest right now and down towards Georgia and over in Mississippi. Hattiesburg is where one of our missionaries lived. And I'm trying to think of his name, Miss Eve, Brother Estes. Brother James Estes was with the Rock of Ages. Last time I was with him in prison, Brother Wayne, he's on his feet. Last time he was in a wheelchair. When he was on his feet, he would scoot his feet like this right here, go through the prison. Love God. His wife went with him to prison, prayed for him, played the piano for him, prayed for those men. Amen. And I heard about those storms. There's great power in the water. There's great power in the wind. There's great power in those tornadoes. There's great power in a hurricane. But I'm going to tell you something right now, honey. God said, watch this with the Red Sea. I'm going to stand it up on this side. I'm going to stand it up on that side. I'm going to dry the ground up while I'm at it. You want to see great power? Look to the God of heaven. Amen. The Bible said he has power to redeem. I ask us tonight to pray for Vernon. Vernon's 73 or 74 years old. You say, you think God can touch that man's heart? I want to tell you tonight, I know God can touch that man's heart. God's got the power to save an 8-year-old like the man that stood in this pulpit last Sunday night or last Wednesday night told us he got saved. He can save an 80-year-old and save anybody in between. That's the God that we serve. He has the power to redeem. Notice what the Bible said here. Now these are thy servants, thy people, Thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Sometimes, if we're not careful, the devil will back us up in the corner and we'll think, God, we've got a problem God can't fix. I want you to know tonight, listen to me, we don't have a problem that God can't fix. It's not can God, but we ought to have the attitude God can. Listen, God has power to redeem. That's the greatest need of mankind is redemption. We see here that there's power in the blood. The Bible teaches us that. Amen. We sing about that. The Bible talked about God bringing his people out of Egypt through the blood. Amen. And then through the flood. And Moses besought the Lord in Exodus 32:11 and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? This is said over and over in the Word of God in Exodus or 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 36. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you fear, him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. Listen to me tonight, please. This will bless your heart. It didn't take any more power for God, beloved, to dry up the Red Sea and to redeem the children of Israel than it did the night or the day or the afternoon that God reached down and redeemed your soul. It's the same power, the same precious blood. Amen. Now, my friend, that redeemed the children of Israel will redeem mankind. I was thinking about Ruth a while ago. Sometime or another, I went through the book of Ruth, I think, with the young people a couple years back. I love the book of Ruth. But I was thinking a while ago about that kinsman redeemer. And I just wrote down a couple of things over in Ruth chapter number 4. Had to be a near kinsman. You see, there was a nearer kinsman than Boaz. But not only did you have to be a near kinsman, honey, you had to be able to redeem. The nearer kinsman was able to redeem. But listen, there was one thing Boaz had on him. He wasn't willing to redeem. But thank God, I tell you, Boaz was willing to redeem. Aren't you glad, thank God, when you found yourself lost in sin, that there was a kinsman redeemer that left heaven, came down here and became a man just like you and I, amen, walked among us, amen, at all points tempted like we are, without sin, yet without sin. He was a near kinsman. He was able to redeem. He carried his blood into the throne room of God, sprinkled it on the mercy seat, but thank God Almighty, he was willing to redeem you and to redeem me. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with the thought. He has great power. He has power to redeem. Have you ever looked at someone? You know, I guarantee you, Brother Wayne, where you go in that jail, I guarantee you that there's people looked at those men and said, well, that's a hopeless cause. There's no hope. I'm going to tell you something right now. If they're breathing, now listen, I got to be careful how I word this. And they've not stepped across God's deadline. How many believes there's a deadline? There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that you should pray for it. I believe if they still have a conscience that's not been seared like with a hot iron, if they've not been turned over to a reprobate mind, I'll tell you, I don't care how low in sin they are, there's a Redeemer that can redeem them, amen, from that sin, from that, my friend, that pit, that place of degradation. Now look here, Titus chapter 2, verse number 14. I'll move on to the second point in the message. Titus chapter 2, the Bible said, who gave himself for us. But we like to talk about the cross, don't we? Don't we? The blood. But listen, why did he give himself for us? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. I tell you something you think about. Let me get the story straight here. Oh boy, it slipped my mind. Is it Haggai? No. It's not Haggai. Who was it bought his wife off out of the slave market? Somebody help me tonight. Amen. I ain't got Brother Steve here. I'm in trouble. Who was it, sister? Who was it?
Hosea.
That's right. Gomer. Hosea and Gomer. That's exactly right. It wasn't Haggai. It was Hosea. Thank you, sister. Amen. His wife had done been out there. Listen, His wife had done given herself away. But you know what he said? He said, I'll take her. Amen. Thank God for a Savior. When nobody else would have us, said, I'll take him. I'll take her. Amen. I can redeem him by my great power. The second thing I want to give you tonight, the Bible said here, thy servants whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, thy strong hand, he has power to redeem. But the second thing I want to give you tonight, the Lord spoke to my heart about, is power in the blood. He has power to redeem. But the second thing is he gives power to the redeemed. There's power in the brethren. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen to what Job said. Job said, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. I thought about that verse Sunday morning, Brother Brian. Job is saying, would he plead against me with his great power? Let me tell you something. If he did, you'd be consumed. But the word of God said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Job said, no, he wouldn't plead against me with his great power. He's not interested in destroying me with his great power, but he's interested in developing me with his great power. That's what God wants to do, is develop his children. You say, I don't know why the valley. I don't know why the trials. I don't know why the heartache. I'll tell you, listen, God had a purpose in Job's life. In everything that happened in his life, God had a purpose in his life. And God developed that man. That man was a better man in Job chapter 42 than he was in Job chapter number 1. And I tell you, the average Christian today would have been a bitter man in Job chapter 42. But Job was a better man. And Job prayed for his three friends, and God delivered them and forgave them. God's great power. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. How many believes tonight we have no power whatsoever unless he gives it to us? He's the one that gives us power tonight. Somebody said, well, you know, I believe that old boy's got God in him. Let me tell you something. Every old boy that's saved by the grace of God's got God in him. But I'm going to tell you what God wants to do. He wants this world to see God on us. And there's a difference in having God in you and having God on you. Was out there by the fire, said, I don't even know him. He had God in him, but he didn't have God on him. But I tell you, hallelujah, after a little trip to the upper room, after an encounter with the Lord Jesus on the seashore, he goes up in the upper room, they get together and pray a while. On the day of Pentecost, I'm going to tell you, Peter had something besides God in him. He had God on him, amen. And God used the man of God for his glory. Oh, beloved friend, moms, dads, mamas, papas, we need God on us in this generation. We need the world to understand there's something different about that woman, something different about that man. That's why the Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He gives power to the redeemed. There's power, my friend, to redeem. That's power in the blood. He gives power to the redeemed. That's power in the brethren. One New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was that the float represented the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, their truck had run out of gas. And the illustration said, often Christians neglect their spiritual maintenance. And though they're clothed with power, they find themselves out of gas. How many can say amen right there? We have access to all the power that we need to get the job done for the glory of God. He has power to redeem. There's power in the blood. He gives power to the redeemed. There's power in the brethren. Let me give you this tonight, and that this is in my heart. He not only does he have power to redeem and he gives power to the redeemed, but his power is greater in the redeemed. Now this is what I'm going to say. In Psalm 37:35, listen to what the Bible said. David said, I have seen the wicked in great power. Beloved, you have too. I have seen the wicked in great power. He said, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. I'll tell you something right now. There's a lot of wickedness in our land. You say, preacher, that wickedness doesn't have any power. Why do they keep rolling their sleeves up and sticking that needle in their arm? Why do they keep going down there to the liquor store? Why do they keep going in there and scratching them tickets? Why do they keep going to the horse races? Why do they keep going in the casinos? I'm going to tell you something right now. There's power in wickedness. There's power. You know what I want to say tonight, though? His power is greater in the redeemed. He said, preacher, where'd you get that? Well, John, 1 John 4:4 said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God didn't say that rascal in the world wasn't great. But he said there's somebody inside of you greater than him. Amen. His power is greater tonight in the redeemed. I want to say there's power in the book. You say, preacher, where do we get our power? I tell you, this precious old book. You say, well, where did you get that in the scripture? If you read right there in the text, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but 1 John chapter number 5, the Bible said you've overcome. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You say, well, preacher, you didn't say nothing about the book. Well, I'm fixing to. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. His power, he has power to redeem. He gives power to the redeemed. His power is greater in the redeemed. I'm going to give you this. His great power is seen by the redeemed. While the world is blind to his great power, you and I get to see it every day of our life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I want to just stop and say this tonight. There's power in the blessed hope. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said over in the book of Jeremiah, I have made the earth, the man and the beast. God's power is revealed in God's creation. When you and I that are saved by the grace of God, when we get up in the morning, we know who made the sun. We know who made the moon. We know who made the stars. We know that the grass is fixing to green up. We know that the shrubbery's fixing to green up. We know that the flowers are fixing to bud. The other day, Miss Eve and I were sitting out here and we were looking at the trees in the front lawn of the church. And they're putting out, how many knows what that means? They're putting out, you can see the little shoots putting out on them. You say, preacher, what do you mean? God's power, we can see it because it's revealed in his creation. Every day of our life, we can see God's power. Not only revealed in his creation, but revealed in a new creation. He made a new creature out of you. Listen to what the Bible said in Jeremiah and out of me. Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah. He said, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. That would almost take you back to the thing I said a moment ago about the book, because he spoke it into existence. That's what God did. That's the power in the word of God. And he said this, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I wish you'd say that with me. And there is nothing too hard for thee. That's what Nehemiah is understanding in Nehemiah chapter 1. He's saying, yeah, the walls are tore down, the gates are burned down, but there's a God in heaven that brought us out of Egypt. And I'm telling you, the God of heaven that brought us out of Egypt, with his great power, he redeemed us. He can use us and with his great power put back what the enemy has torn down. Wouldn't it be a blessing if churches in America got a hold of that and said, yes, there's some things been torn down, but we're going to stand up, we're going to speak up, we're going to look up, we're going to pray up, and we're going to trust God to do something about the gates that have been damaged in our society. Amen. Revealed in his creation. But then his great power is seen by the redeemed. It's revealed in his coming. Listen to what the Bible said in Mark chapter 13 and verse number 26. If you find Mark chapter 36, you've got the wrong Bible. Mark chapter 13 and verse 26. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Honey, the world ain't looking for him. But you and I have been saved by the grace of God. The redeemed are looking for him that's going to come with great power and with great glory. Revelation 11, 17 saying, he said, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. I want to tell you tonight, we can see what the world is blind to tonight. He's coming. He's coming again. Amen. Then in Revelation 18 in verse number 1, he said, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Isn't that a blessing tonight? One of God's creatures, amen, an angel. The Bible said the earth was lightened with his glory. And if God can light the earth with an angel, God can light the earth with the children of God. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The salt loses its savor. Well, they do. They just walk on it. It's good for nothing. Just to trot under your foot. But I tell you, if we're salty, it can create a thirst. It can preserve what God has done in our land. Amen. I tell you tonight, Nehemiah understood that there was a great need, but it didn't stop there. Nehemiah understood that there was a great God in heaven that could meet that great need. Do you have a need tonight? Do you have a need tonight? Whatever you need tonight, I'll tell you tonight, I'd help any way I could. That's the truth. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's some things I can't do. Some things you can't do. But as far as meeting the needs of God's people, there's nothing that he can't do. Amen. I tried to say that like that because one man said there's nothing God can't do. If you say it like that, it's not exactly accurate because the Bible said God cannot lie. The Bible said God cannot deny himself. There's several phrases like that in the Word of God. But if you have a need tonight, I'll guarantee you this. There's a God in heaven that's able to meet that need. I believe, I can't prove this, but I think if you study the book of Nehemiah with just 50-some days, was it 57? I'm not sure. It's over there about chapter 6 or something like that. Let me look at it real quick. I know where it is on the page, I believe. Chapter 6. Wasn't long. Wasn't long at all. Let's see. That's chapter 7. Let me go back to chapter 6. 52. Chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul. That would be H, if I look over in my, it's September. Finished in September in 52 days. I believe, Brother Rose, that God's great power was an amazement to Nehemiah. I believe it was an amazement to that man that worked in the apothecary, that goldsmith, those that next unto him, next unto him, next unto him, in 52 days, what God did in their midst. I don't believe they ever forgot it. Just like the people that marched around Jericho. You know what they saw? They saw God's great power. Here you see God building up walls. In the book of Joshua, God's tearing down walls. God's great power can do it either way. Amen. And the wall of Jericho fell down. I'm just glad you come tonight. How many believes there's a great need in our country? How many believes our Lord is a great need meeting God? I think about this often. Since things seem to be making a turn, God gave Jezebel, a very wicked woman, space to repent. I don't know who shared this illustration with me the other day. I still haven't taken the time to get online and look at it. But they said somebody took BBs. If you're here, raise your hand if you shared that with me. Anybody here? Somebody was telling me that somebody took BBs and said these are the number of lives that were lost in the American Revolution. They poured them in a funnel and it just rattled around real quick and was done. These are the number of lives that were lost in the Civil War. These are the number of lives that were lost in World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, Korean War. And they said all of them, every life was represented by a BB. And they'd hit that metal funnel and just seemed like, Brother Houston, just a moment, just be done, just go down. Even though that's a lot of lives. But the person that told me this, I need to look it up. Maybe you'll look it up. Maybe that's why God's having me to share it. But they said when they started pouring the number of babies that had been aborted, that it went on and on and on. You think about that for just a moment. And we got people that won't even say. They're so interested in staying on that side of the aisle that they won't even say that there's something wrong with pulling that baby out of there a week before it could be born and taking its life. That's sad, isn't it? But you know what? Could be that God has given us space to repent as a country. Amen? Amen. We need to be careful that we don't get that them attitude and keep this we attitude. Amen. It's our country, Lord. And Lord, there's enough blame to go around. There's enough blame in the pew, enough blame in the pulpits, enough blame with parents. Would somebody help me tonight and say amen? There's enough blame to go around. Thank you for coming tonight. Father, we sure do thank you for blessing us tonight with your presence. I pray, Father, tonight something's been said that might encourage your precious people. God, you've encouraged me. Lord, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for helping me along the way. Lord, I know that without you we can do nothing. But Lord, there's nothing that we can accomplish with your help that you've asked us and bid us to do. I do pray, Lord, for our country. Help us, our Father. Lord, there have been some decisions made along the way, Lord, that I believe hurt the heart of God. Lord, Psalm 139, you've got your eye on that little baby, even while his substance is not yet formed. I do pray, Father, tonight you'd help us to wise up in the country, seek your face once again. Father, I pray you'd forgive us for our sin. Forgive us, our God. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name.